Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
As discussed yesterday, Big Bank was always going to take Little Bank. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday, and we talk about this concept all the time, that a program's ability to show up at somebody else's crib, hi, we're here for your coach, and there's nothing you can do about it. There is no more real-time bottom-line measuring stick for the health of your program, and I'm talking financially, I'm talking interest, support, whatever, rich boosters, there is very little that will give a more immediate and transparent window into what you are as a program, more so than who can show up and take from you. Well, I think it was Ice Cube that said, Big Bank takes Little Bank. LSU is supposed to go to where? I'm going to say LSU is supposed to go to Middle Tennessee. Or LSU is going to go to, like, northern Iowa. Like, good programs. They're going to go to Eastern Washington. And they're going to say, hey, we're going to take your offensive line coach. Because as we told you Wednesday afternoon, Coach O, well, actually, no. There was an announcement from LSU that Coach O had. It wasn't Coach O saying it. It was, yeah, our head coach got rid of the offensive line coach today. We will have no further comment on this. So they had an opening. And I'm saying it was 48 hours before your first on-campus recruiting event in a year and 3 months. Poor timing. However, there are some – I'm going to talk about business truths because, I mean, my gosh, SEC football, it's business. Am I right that unless you have – no other option. In this case, you're not firing an important assistant manager 48 hours before the opening of the fall line. I mean, you're not making this move unless you thought you already had a line on who the next guy was going to be. Fire him. All right, well, who's the replacement? I don't know. I haven't thought about it. Call Dave Bartow. So, when I talked about this yesterday, I talked about it with the knowledge from a text, and I'll say more about it now, that James Craig was thought to be, I guess, a good enough coach, but by all accounts, the least able recruiter on the entire staff. And there were some other issues, and so Ed Ogeron's like, I'm the coach. You're fired. Oh, I got to hire somebody. That wasn't how it happened. Because even yesterday I was like, and I have been told either the Florida State guy or the Arkansas guy. Well, it turns out it's the Arkansas guy, Brad Davis. So LSU did not show up at Middle Tennessee State or Tulsa. They not only went to an SEC program, they went to another SEC division team's facility. Check in hand, left with your offensive line coach. I will say that any offensive line coach hired by Sam Pittman, plenty enough endorsement for me. And now Sam gets to prove again how his insight into hiring at that position is higher than everyone else's. I would rather have the coach than the reputation of being, eh, what a great hire. Because you know what Ed Ogeron did? He said, yeah, Arkansas, they were tougher to play last year with this scheme and coaching and accept, we'll take that guy because we know we can. He couldn't have taken Alabama or probably Texas A&M's coach or probably Auburn. I don't think Auburn, the Will friend. And he couldn't take Georgia or Florida's almost certainly. Everybody else in the SEC, it even matters in the conference, man. I said there is no, I mean, clearer window into what's going on with your program, what you really are, than who can show up and take your coach. Do you remember the only reason we talked Kansas football before Les Miles and the AD got themselves fired? Do you remember the only reason? It's because Middle Tennessee showed up at a Big 12 program. Hi, we're taking your offensive coordinator. An OC left a Power 5 program. Now, it's very Bill Clinton. While legally accurate, it may be misleading. David, do you know what that refers to?
I believe that was to the Lewinsky case.
Outstanding, David. What year were you born?
93. Ironically, on the same day as Monica Lewinsky, by the way.
Wow.
Fun fact for me.
How about that? So, yeah, you were like a 3 or 4 or 5 year old, and that was good. And so that was his, yes, legally accurate but misleading. That was an attorney who swore under oath he didn't really understand what perjury was. Eh, whatever. So yes, legally accurate, though misleading, that you're a Power 5 program. Because when the Blue Raiders show up, no disrespect, I've said that's a really good program. And I like Rick Stockstill in particular. I've talked about that facility up there. That's a good pro. If you don't go to a Big 12 program and take anything from them. Have I sung the praises about Tom Allen, the current Indiana coach? Why did I just say the current Indiana coach? Because he ain't going to be the Indiana coach in about, let's see, June, August, September. About 6 months, he's not going to be the coach anymore. That's usually when it happens, isn't it? Like either leading up to the rivalry game or after the rivalry game, but before championship Saturday. That's when the big program, or the morning after the there you go. I saw Dan, little bzz, light bulb. It's that morning after the SEC championship game. Yeah, Tom Allen's not going to be the head coach at Indiana anymore, but he is now. And Nick Saban said, yeah, that's where I'm going to not just replace my strength and conditioning coach. I dare say I could have been a strength and conditioning coach 30 years ago because everyone I saw, this was the entire routine. One more. Like they would just lean over you on the bench. One more. Okay. So that's not what it is anymore. And with, it's Ballou, right? David Ballou? I think that's it. I apologize. I don't know the name of hardly any strength and conditioning coaches. And it doesn't matter. It matters if I was a head coach, it would matter. Nick Saban wasn't just replacing, like when you're replacing your linebackers coach or your offensive line coach or your coordinator, you know what you need? Another linebacker coach or offensive line coach or coordinator. That's what you need. All right, there you go. You coach linebackers now. Let's hit the field. That's not what Nick Saban was doing. He was looking to revamp every aspect of strength, conditioning, nutrition science, their explosion, everything. He's like, I just don't want to bring in another guy to go, one more. That's not what Scott Cochran did. That's what whoever did in 1989. He's like, I don't want to get a guy just to, all right, well, I lost the coach, so I got to replace him like I do when we lose the receivers coach. He said, I want to do all this new and better. Nick Saban, head coach at Alabama, said, I want to do this new and better. He went to a Big Ten program. By the way, Big Ten's got more money than the SEC. That's the one thing that we still – when they started the Big Ten Network, it might have been, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ahead of the SEC, and it was a faucet with like $1,000 bills just pour. It was hemorrhaging money. Because nobody had done this before. And the Big Ten was like, we think we have a – oh, my gosh, we were wrong about all this. And then you know what happened? They snapped their fingers and they got everything back on the tracks to the point that they told Maryland, we want you in the conference, but you know you got to pay $50 million to get out of the ACC. Maryland's like, sold. Couldn't get there fast enough. They got more money in the Big Ten. Alabama went to a Big Ten program and said, we're taking your coach. Now, it wasn't Ohio State, and it wasn't Michigan. Wasn't Penn State, or you know, whoever else. It was Indiana, but Tom Allen, he's a comer, everybody knows, as the current Hoosiers coach, and that's where Nick Saban went. No clearer window into the space you occupy than who can show up and go, yeah, we're not asking, we're telling. And if there's like some compensation involved or we got to give you a game like Florida did with Colorado State, do you know what the Rams' response was? Now, they worked the best deal they could. But it was never not going to happen. The only question mark were the terms.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Apple was one of the biggest focal points in the offseason and in spring. An effort, you know, we always say is between you and you. And so just challenging the guys in that way, you know, it may not be right all the time and you're going to make mistakes, but just give great effort. We can fix everything else.
Durante Jones, LSU defensive coordinator. The Hey Fighting podcast. This biggest coaching point of the spring, whatever your 100% is, man, bust your tail, get there. And if it's footwork or working leverage or, you know, we'll figure all that stuff out. But I need to know what your real ceiling is. And so we get that through effort. Durante Jones, again, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here. I would bet money the LSU defense improves this year, and I think improves greatly. Bo Pelini knows so much more about defense and football and coaching and motivation and X's and O's and everything from how to watch game film. He'll, like, Gulf of Mexico, I'm a teacup. I watched last year and was thinking, this is not working, and it's also not changing. So it's going to get better. Simply because last year's production was so – this is always one of my big measuring sticks. I was like, where is the production in terms of the talent? And it was – I'll say, if you're talking best like general unit, like last year, Florida, I don't know what went on with defense. I know Brenton Cox is a good ball player. I know Kyrie Campbell's a good ball player and all that. I know all these guys are good ball players. You know, Kyrie Elam. They weren't good last year. They weren't like Marco Wilson, really good ball player. Son, put the shoe down. There were just so many times last year that the production was short of the skill, the talent on the Florida defense. And well, it was a pandemic. Sold. I don't think that's what it was in Baton Rouge. I don't think that was much of it at all. If you remember the early parts of, like, if we go back, we DeLorean back exactly 365 ago. It was that first week where you could have welcomed kids back on campus. And it took like 10 minutes until the Houston Cougars shut down everything because they had six positives. And we thought six positives was going to send the earth screeching on its axis because they had six positives. Houston, you remember what they did? They shut down the program. Sent everybody isolation. I'm laughing about it now. And then 2 months later, like, we don't even have testing here. 2 months later, bag-o tests at Walgreens. 99 of them for $100. And then 5 months after that, oh, really? There's a vaccine? Now? Again, bag-o vaccine. 99 for $100. It's coming. So that wasn't the deal in Baton Rouge, not during the season. It was alignment. It was it. Again, I can't say, you know, stance, technique, and all that stuff because I think they did. They just were in the wrong spot to play the proper technique. It'll be better if it is simply competent in terms of how you line up and how you attack. Competent will be a monster improvement because the talent, wow, talent is still there. And so more so than any other, I'll say just side of the football, because when I say unit, that's like wide receivers as a unit. Offense isn't. But if you just divide it into that big chunk, offense and defense for 130 teams, the LSU defense, I don't believe there was any bigger disparity between the talent that I know was on the roster and the week-to-week production. And, again, it wasn't a story, as I recall, like Florida shutting down their program. So, in the season. What up, Dan?
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is just really lack of confidence, not only in what was being coached, but being able to actually use it to effectiveness last year. I mean, I think that was evident in terms of the receivers running wide open. I mean, there is nothing worse, Chuck. I would say that probably next to kicking a football through the uprights and maybe a couple of other positions in sports, thinking on your feet as a cornerback is one of the worst things you can do. You need to be very much a reactive player. And then if you're good enough, like a Derek Stingley, you can be proactive where you can actually take it to them. And there's not a lot of people that can do that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, when you're 19 and a sophomore and you're baiting a senior quarterback, that's not for everybody. That's not for most college cornerbacks regardless, but, I mean, you see he's good enough. He did that as a freshman. He got two picks in the SEC title game. That second one where he ripped it out, that was a bait job.
No, that was. You're talking about the one where he broke in on it.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, he stole it away. I believe it was from Tyler Simmons.
Unbelievable.
It was a play that, exactly right, that usually only upperclassmen make, but as a true freshman, he had those instincts and he had the ball skills to be able to make it happen. I just consider me to be of the skeptical variety when it comes to Texas A&M, because we've been down this road before, Chuck. In 2013, we were down this road. Johnny Manziel's back. Everybody's back. It is plug and play. This team is going to do it. And then they went 9-4. Now, is that Johnny Manziel's fault? Is that Kevin Sumlin's fault? We saw the program go the way that it did after that. There is more belief in Jimbo Fisher. But the only thing is that I wonder with Jimbo Fisher is, why isn't anybody talking about the thing they should be talking about with him? And that is his quarterback. Now, I get it. He doesn't have one yet. He's going between Haynes King and maybe Zach Calzada. Maybe there's going to be a variation of both this season. We've seen it now work at certain places.
He's done it a little bit before himself.
He has.
A little bit. He doesn't like to.
No, he doesn't. I mean, Sean McGuire and Everett Golson was kind of an idea of that, where then eventually it was Sean McGuire that took over at Florida State. But that's the question I have with Texas A&M, is how can we necessarily plug them in and say, oh, they're plug and play. They're a top 10, maybe even a top 5 team in the country, when, Chuck, we know that the last 3 years, at least in college football, have shown us, have quarterback win games, have outstanding quarterback win national championship, and people are trying to plug them into that category. Chuck, I just don't see that piece fitting in just yet.
I'm so glad you mentioned Sean McGuire. Wasn't he, like, playing with basically a broken foot or something?
He had to leave the Peach Bowl. Yeah.
And I was like, that kid got so much crap. And I was like, he was doing exactly what he was supposed to do, come off the bench if you needed him, and he did his 100%. I always looked at that kid. I was so impressed with him. Absolutely was, especially with the injury.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
LSU in the news, and not necessarily for bad reasons. Surprising that you would fire an offensive line coach 2 days before the return of in-person recruiting. But that's what LSU did, but then they quickly turned it around. And like I said, it took like 5 minutes of kind of scratching around. And I was given two names. So they're going to be one of these guys. Boom, it happened. So LSU, before the arrival of the official visits, has already replaced the coach that they fired just 2 days ago. To talk about that and, again, other good news for LSU, want to welcome on now Mi Amigo from ESPN Baton Rouge and points all around New Orleans, Alexandria, et cetera. It is Matt Moscona. Matt, how are you, brother?
Chuck, I'm awesome, man. Thanks as always.
Yeah, I appreciate you getting some time today to come on and explain exactly what happened with James Craig being fired just a couple of days ago. Many times, I mean, coaches get fired all the time for not getting a particular recruit. In most cases, it's an in-state five-star. Was that part of what happened here, whether in-state or maybe a little further up the East Coast?
I think a little further up the East Coast, but it's not so much not getting him, Chuck. I mean, listen, LSU had a staff bloodletting at the end of the season. They turned over half of their staff. Five coaches were out. You can't go 5-5 and expect the status quo to remain. And honestly, the big surprise was James Craig keeping his job at the end of the season. Sometimes that's just a matter of contract. Sometimes it's a matter of do you have the guy to replace him. After 2019, James Craig got a salary boost from $475,000 to $700,000. So I think, Chuck, kind of reading the tea leaves, this is probably one of those things where LSU might have been looking for an opportunity to move on for cause. They might have gotten it if a school maybe reported an impropriety.
And then yeah, LSU, I've heard all that, so too. Can I ask you, are we going to put names on this, or are we just going to just talk?
Sure. This is my best guess. And just to be clear, this is not confirmed, but it's out there enough that I don't mind saying it. Yes. There's a report that Clemson reported LSU for a violation. Both schools were very heavily on Tristan Lee, the big five-star offensive lineman. It was very likely something to do therein. It doesn't seem like it was anything too egregious from what I can gather. But maybe this was just the shove to allow LSU to move on.
I want to say it is what Matt's talking about, everybody. It's in the contract that if you commit a violation or you know of it and don't alert compliance about it, it's the same thing, and you can be fired for cause, and that gets them out from under the contract, correct?
Correct, financially. So he was entering the final year of his contract. This allowed LSU to move on, and they had – two names, as you mentioned, and landed one of them. And I think this is going to – we can talk about it, but it's – I think both in recruiting and on the field, this is going to be a massive upgrade at a spot where they needed it.
Yeah, and, you know, the funny thing is there are plenty – I realized as I was thinking about this the past few days, I was like, there are way more offensive line coaches that I can name and I know something about. You know, when Auburn hired Will Friend, I was like, oh, I know about him. I don't know that much about Brad Davis, but I started the show today. I was like, Sam Pittman hired this guy to be offensive line coach. Good enough for me.
Yeah. So Sam Pittman, actually, interesting story. Brad, you know, there's a Louisiana line camp that's happened in, you know, down at Nicholls State for 30 years, and Pete Jenkins has helped put it on. And I mean, they have brought – look, I went to that camp when I was in high school. They coach up. It doesn't matter if you're – it's not a prospect camp. It's any lineman can go to it. And Brad Davis was there as an instructor about 10 years ago, and Sam Pittman raved about him as one of the best offensive line, technical offensive line coaches he'd seen. So this is a guy who's come up through the ranks, right? He was at Florida in 2017 when Jim McElwain was removed. He went to Missouri, was there a couple of years, and then this past year was with Sam Pittman there at Arkansas. But, Chuck, Brad Davis is a Baton Rouge guy. He went to Bel Air High in Baton Rouge and then went and played at Oklahoma. for Stoops from 99 to 02 was on their national championship team. I mean, he was a really, really good player as well, transitioned into coaching, and he's, you know, young guy, 41 years old, has a reputation as a dynamic recruiter, great technical coach. And Chuck, I mean, make no mistake, LSU has been as much talent as they've had on the field in so many different positions. They just haven't produced elite offensive linemen. They haven't signed him, and they haven't produced him. And that's been a problem. And the hope is maybe this could be the guy that starts to reel him in.
And the thing is, there are so many. I mean, I mentioned the in-state, and is that's a lot of times what will cost a position coach his job. And this recruit was, like I said, way up in, I don't know, Maryland or wherever. But you're right about that. There are so many offensive linemen from Louisiana that they can play on Sundays, but they maybe didn't wear an LSU jersey on Saturdays. And so, I mean, it's the two positions, offensive line, defensive line. Nobody ever has enough, and you know when all the big ones get away.
And, Chuck, LSU in this most recent class signed two offensive linemen. Now, one of them but I have committed for this coming class, Will Campbell, who's a five-star from Neville for 2022. But, Chuck, I mean, they just signed two offensive linemen in this most recent class. One's Garrett Dellinger from Michigan. One's a three-star from Florida. That's it. I mean, if you look back over the last three classes signed since James Craig has been at LSU, there is one offensive lineman who has become a starter, and it's Liam Shanahan, the transfer from Harvard, who, when they signed him, he was thought maybe he could be a backup and end up being the starting center on the team last year. I mean, they just haven't gotten elite players, and they haven't developed them, and it shows, man. I mean, Chuck, do you know you may actually know this. Do you know the last first-round draft pick offensive lineman that LSU's produced?
Give me the year.
1997.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Who was it? Alan Faneca?
The last time LSU. Now, Lyle Collins would have been a first-rounder, but for what transpired before the draft, But, Chuck, it's been a long time, and even Andrew Whitworth was a second rounder. And they've had some good units, but they just have not consistently produced dudes on the offensive line. It's just it's bizarre. As much talent as they've had at so many other positions, it just hasn't materialized there.
Did I save that? Because I was saying Alan Faneca as you were. When you said 97, I get credit for that, right?
Ding, ding, ding. It's your show. You can have the credit.
Yeah. Okay. Continue with Matt Moscona again, ESPN, Baton Rouge, and everywhere else in Louisiana on TV for sure. I realized that I had transposed two running backs, Kevontre Bradford, who's from Texas, with Katravion Hargrove, who's that kid from Ruston who was committed to Louisiana Tech and could tell he got his fourth star. I don't have any news involving Katravion Hargrove. I do involving Kevontre Bradford. Again, I saw him in the transfer portal the other day, and I was like, oh, the kid from Ruston. And it said, like, Lancaster, Texas. I was like, oh, no! Very, very embarrassing. But he's in the portal. Is it just depth chart like so many other kids?
He also had an off-field issue this spring, and that might have contributed to it a little bit. But, you know, Chuck, it is a little surprising because last summer, Ed Ogeron gushed about him. And you can always tell with that. If you listen to him carefully, he makes a point every time he has a mic in front of his face to pump somebody. And last summer, one of those guys was Trey Bradford. And, look, they've got bodies at running back, but they really don't have any production. And if they want to be the Joe Brady offense, I mean, Chuck, I know you'll agree with this. The biggest cog that nobody talks about from the 2019 offense was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mm-hmm. Guy ran for 1,400 yards and caught 60 passes.
You didn't tip your pitches when he was on the field as far as this rundown or pass down.
Exactly. He was an elite pass blocker as well, even for a small guy.
Yep.
He could run between the tackles, he could get to the edge, and he could catch the ball. Like, Chuck, they don't have that guy, man. I mean, John Emery and Ty Davis Price, they've been waiting to see if one of those guys would emerge. Trey Bradford, they thought, could be that guy.
Chris Curry wasn't going to be that guy either.
Chris Curry already transferred.
Yeah, I'm saying he wasn't going to be that guy, and so he's gone as well.
Right.
That's a really good point about the specific skills.
I mean, so they're looking for that guy, and, you know, Bradford had a couple opportunities in the passing game last year, dropped some open passes. mean, Chuck, the two spots in this team where they are the weakest, and it is not even close, is safety and running back. And you know, they added Major Burns from Georgia, and so they think that could help, you know, patch that hole. But they may really need a kid like Corey Kiner, a true freshman coming in, to be a guy. And if not, they're going to have to really hope that either John Emery or Ty Davis Price takes that gigantic step in their junior year, because to this point it hasn't happened. And you just have got to have that guy for this offense to work.
Yeah, and Kiner, he's like 200 and something pounds. 200, he's a big, thick kind of looking kid. Did you get a look at all at Goodwin? Armani Goodwin, how thick is he?
I have not seen him yet, honestly. Uh-huh. We have not had any, obviously with all the COVID protocols and everything, we have not had any face-to-face anything yet.
Okay, because he's not the biggest kid in the world, and that's, I mean, he obviously you can still contribute, and there's a space on every roster for the, you know, the Chris Rainey, the Jeff Demps, the Ace Sanders. That's not exactly Armani Goodwin, but he's also, I mean, he's one of those guys, and he's a stud freshman. Everybody's excited about him, but he's one of those guys that you find a role for, right?
The guy you just described was Trey Bradford. A little undersized, had some wiggle, and he's not here, but Kevin Falk, who's the running backs coach, last year very liberally rotated his backs. I mean, they used all five guys. And sometimes almost to where it was head-scratching because they wouldn't ride a guy with a hot hand. But to your question, will they use those freshmen? I don't think there's any doubt. Because I don't think they have a choice unless if one of the juniors has a breakout like Clyde Edwards-Helaire did where – He removes all doubt and takes away the option and just says, I'm that guy.
All right, so let's talk what LSU does about as good as anybody, and it's on campus now. They cut the ribbon on campus recruiting. What's going on around there?
Huge, man. And it's another reason why it was so big to move quickly on the offensive line hire, because they had prospects here yesterday. Will Campbell, the big five-star offensive lineman who we talked about from Neville up in North Louisiana, he was here yesterday. They have a whole boatload of kids coming through today. Chuck, consider this. LSU won the national title in January of 2020 and shortly after the dead period began and never lifted. So all of these recruits, for the first time, are seeing LSU's national championship trophy, are seeing Joe Burrow's Heisman. Like, all of the things that LSU would have normally loved to have flexed and displayed before last year's recruiting cycle, these kids have never seen. So I think the hope there is this is an opportunity kind of to flush 2020 and remind everybody 2019 isn't in that far of the rearview mirror. And this is a massive weekend for it.
Last question for you. Opener, UCLA, Pasadena. What's the presence going to be like out yonder? Has LSU ever played in a Rose Bowl?
LSU has never played in the Rose Bowl.
The game or the stadium?
The game or the stadium, correct. It was close in 2006. This is kind of random, but LSU was set to play in the Rose Bowl in 2006.
I remember this.
And then USC lost to UCLA, knocking USC out of the championship game. So that's when Florida and Ohio State played. And so then USC, as the Pac-12 champion, went to the Rose Bowl and LSU went to the Sugar Bowl. So they were close in 06 with that Jamarcus team. But no, never been out there. Fans are pumped. The big question is, what is Los Angeles going to allow as far as capacity, attendance? If there's 90,000 allowed in the Rose Bowl, you're going to have over 30,000 LSU fans. I mean, some 40,000 LSU fans went up to Lambeau back in 2016 when LSU played Wisconsin. This fan base will travel, especially when they have novelty opportunities like this.
They had a game in Washington. Am I making that up? They played at Washington?
They played at Washington in 2009, I believe, was the opener at Washington in 2009. It was like a 9 o'clock Central Time.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Matthew, always appreciate your time, brother, and we will do it again in person, I believe, soon, okay?
Looking forward to it, Chuck. See you, man.
All right, Matt Moscone again from ESPN Baton Rouge and all throughout the state there. So, the opener – at UCLA, and it is a destination. It's an opportunity. And we've seen SEC teams, Auburn played at USC. They fought that day. Then they had the return trip to Jordan-Hare, and it wasn't happening. I think they might have crossed midfield twice. I think the final score was 23-0. You ain't never seen a wider 23-0 game in your life.
And then if I'm not mistaken, I believe that was the debut of a quarterback wearing number 11 named Matt Leinart, yeah. Who the storyline of the offseason was, who's going to replace Carson Palmer? Is it that Leinart guy or is it that Matt Cassel guy?
Yeah, they figured it out, man. And you've seen Georgia go out and play a couple of Colorado, Arizona State. So you've seen SEC teams go out yonder, and LSU's going to be the next one in the opener. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, wrap up hour one on a Friday. That's next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. King of College Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Thank you, Matt Moscona, close personal friend of mine. Now, I didn't say good friend, because I do believe the most expensive meal I've ever paid for him is Ruby Tuesday's at the mall. I got no issue with Ruby Tuesday's. In fact, I'll tell you, they're not a sponsor. I'm going to tell you, you want a great burger? They got it's called a triple prime burger. And they take three different kinds of, David's shaking his head. He knows what's up at Ruby Tuesday's.
Yeah, we remember you mentioning it once or twice.
We were waiting for it. Was it going to be now, or was it going to be at the end of the interview with Matt?
I'm telling you, it's a great, 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 that's three greats, burger. Three different kinds of prime beef ground together, and then, again, if you're into desserts, that strawberry tall cake. I don't apologize for taking, hey, you want to go, let me take you to dinner. And they're thinking, you know, bone-in ribeye or whatever. I ain't apologizing. Plus, I mean, my gosh, endless salad bar. So yes, I'll call him a good friend. And hopefully we'll be doing that again soon in person. Continue with Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. The SEC has joined the parade of allowing intra-conference transfers. So all of these kids, and we have talked about transfers and an assumption that's being made for months now by every kid who jumped in the transfer portal. I said, there still is the matter, and it could be a formality. I said there still is the matter of getting approval for the one-time instant eligibility waiver. The one still have to get it. I think it's going to come, but it just hasn't yet. And then the middle of April or so, it was approved. And so then it was official. I think it was like April 15th or 16th or something. So about 6-7 weeks ago, it got official. But then so that was just for if you're going from Western Michigan to UCLA or UCLA to Penn State, there you go. But there were still conferences holding back on the intra-conference transfer, not from Western Michigan to UCLA, but from UCLA to Cal Berkeley. So the ACC and the Pac-12 in particular said, as soon as the NCAA came, they were like, hey, we're ahead of the game here. We're removing that for intra-conference transfers as well. It is not the landscape for the giant entity to look at the poor college kid and go, we're restricting you in literally any way. So Pac-12, I think it was Pac-12 and ACC were the first two. I was like, they're all going to. So I am using this fictitious wide receiver from Western Michigan transferring to UCLA. He got his good news in the middle of April. Henry To'oto'o, he didn't get his good news until earlier today. SEC says we are allowing interconference transfers without having to sit out a season of competition. Now, that was always going to be the case, but just like whoever was transferring from the MAC to the Pac-12, there was a little bit of an assumption, and then it happened. Okay, same sort of thing. There was another level, a second level, that you had to wait to come in if you're, for instance, transferring from Tennessee to Alabama. It's official now. And there's a catch. And when I say catch, this is I don't think this is insignificant. The NCAA has said, because the rule just passed, we'll say all fall and winter sports, July 1st, as long as you declare before July 1st, you are immediately eligible beginning September week one or week zero if you play early. But that's because we only just passed the rule. Remember, if the approval was given, I think it was April 15th or 16th, they said our actual date going forward will be May 1st. We didn't think it was a good idea to tell the kids, hey, you get the one-time transfer immediate eligibility, but you got 13 days. Got to do it now. So they said for this one time, for the first time, since we just got around to saying yes, we're going to push it back, but going forward it'll be May 1st. The catch for the SEC, going forward, you can transfer from Alabama to Georgia with immediate eligibility as long as you declare by February 1st for fall sport. Dan, did I read that correctly?
That's what I'm reading right now.
February 1st for fall sports, May 1 for winter sports, July 1 for the following spring sports. Now, spring sports are going to start in like the baseball starts in February. February 1, now this year, it's just like everybody else, July 1. Going forward, when the NCAA said May 1st, the SEC just said, yep, and in the conference, it's just as peachy. Transfer all you want. However, to be eligible, you have to find your new school by February 1st, yet you still do get to play immediately. But only if you decide before signing day and spring practice. Again, am I missing anything about this? I mean, that seems to be a pretty, well, there's a condition. That is not fine print. That's like headline print. February 1st? The season just ended. I don't know who you signed. I don't know who's transferring here. We didn't have spring practice. I can't imagine. In fact, that one won't stay. That will get adjusted. The first time you see that being put into practice, you're going to have a bunch of kids going around going, whoa, wait a minute. I want to transfer again right now.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.